Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? Welcome to Redskins Talk Podcast. I am J.P. Finley. It's very weird to be doing a Monday podcast, not coming off a Redskins game. But with the Thursday night game, we all had the weekend to collect our thoughts, maybe relax a little bit, figure out what your plans are for January because the Redskins won't be playing. The good news is there's still plenty for us to discuss. We're going to have a fun podcast. As always, Rich Tandler is here. Tandler, say what's up.
What's up?
We now have a recurring guest. This is a big deal. John Keim is sitting in with us. John, say what's up.
What's up?
All right. We got a lot to talk about. The notion of shutting players down. How did the Redskins get some evaluations on guys they haven't maybe seen enough from for 2018? You've got it now, man.
Got it. All right. You don't ask me. I'm just going to say it anyway.
So, all right, quickly, what did you guys do with kind of a mini bye week after the Dallas game? Taylor, you start.
Oh, we went and saw some friends on Saturday, and I did nothing, zip, zero on Sunday.
How many IPAs? Over, under, no. 4.5?
I didn't. Under.
I'm not sure I'd buy it.
Did you mean under the table?
What about you, Kyle? How'd you enjoy a couple days?
I watched the Buckeyes win by 6 when they should have won by 30. So that was first of all. But then yesterday it was nice because, I mean, it felt like a week off. So I was able to put Christmas lights out there with my son. He helped me out with that. And just, I don't know. I'm not sure what else I did, but it was great.
I know. Relaxing was pleasant on a Sunday. Real quick, Tandler, do you think the Final Four college playoff teams are correct?
No. I think Ohio State instead of Alabama. Alabama, just real quick, my complete analysis, Alabama is being presumed to have won a game that they didn't play in, the conference championship game.
And, Keim, I understand you think you're okay with Bama over Ohio State.
Well, here's what I got.
Keim is a noted Buckeye, in case you guys don't know that on the podcast.
And I agree with Rich. My problem with Alabama is I don't particularly like their resume. But I understand from an Ohio State perspective, they got killed by Iowa, and it's inexplicable to me even now. So I knew that if they didn't blow out Wisconsin, they weren't going to get in. And so I'm comfortable with them not being in. But I think with Rich, it's the same thing. There's a presumption with Alabama, and they don't have this like great signature win. And I don't want to hear about Florida State and how well their quarterback got hurt.
In the third quarter.
Here's what I know. A couple years ago, Ohio State lost two quarterbacks and won a national title.
Cardale was my guy, too.
There are other teams that if you're that good, you're going to survive the law. You may not be a great contender, but you're not going to collapse the way they did just because of that. But anyways, I'm okay with Ohio State not being in because they needed to take care of the business on themselves, and they did not do it.
Right. I feel like we could go 15 minutes on this, no problem. But we'll keep it moving. I'm excited for the matchups. They look awesome. Another Clemson-Alabama game looks fun. Georgia-Oklahoma should be fun. All right, moving along, whoever had over 0.5 Tandler coughs in the first 3 minutes of the podcast, your ticket just hit, so go to the window and collect your winnings. Tandler did try to turn away from the mic, which I appreciate, but my guy just can't handle 20 minutes without coughing.
What can I say? Let's just move on.
All right, we're gonna set the stage here like we like to. We are in the outer reaches of Redskins Park. They have a couple picnic tables out kind of behind the media center that we're sitting at. It's a little bit cold, a little bit windy, but we're gonna power through it to deliver this podcast. Let's start with the notions of shutting players down. The Skins aren't making the playoffs. It would take a wild circumstance of events to all coincide. It's not gonna happen, right? So the notion of should the Redskins shut players down to be healthy and better prepared for 2018 comes up. The most popular two names are Jordan Reed, Trent Williams, and then a little bit of Morgan Moses. But let's mainly start with Trent and Jordan Reed. Taylor, tell me what you think about the idea of shutting a guy down.
It's stupid.
That was quick.
Let's move on. Look, these guys are paid to play. From their point of view, they get per game roster bonuses for being active.
That's a big point.
It is money.
Fans don't realize.
Okay, right. And look, you know, if you can play, you know, does Trent Williams need to play from an experience standpoint? No, I think Jordan Reed could stand to get out there some more and, you know, at least get in some playing time. I guess the question also, although he's already technically shut down, Jonathan Allen, you could say the same thing. If he's healthy, ready to come back week 15, do they bring him back?
I think definitely bring a rookie back.
Yes. If you know, assuming he's 100%, you know, you're obviously not going to push it. That would be stupid. It would also be stupid to have him perfectly healthy standing there on the sidelines. You cannot replace NFL regular season snaps as experience. There's just nothing like it.
Right. All right. Kime, what say you?
Well, I don't believe in shutting down just to shut down. I think the question for a guy like Trent Williams is, what is the surgery? How long is the recovery period going to be?
Rehab
time.
He's
the one that I would be most concerned about, because Morgan Moses is going to need surgery on his ankles. Now, I don't know that it's going to be like the 6 to 8 month rehab for him.
Right.
I think
it could be a cleanup type thing.
Correct. And it could be like you're laid up for a month or two at a period where you're not going to be doing a whole lot anyways. And so that's not ideal. But I think for Trent, the fear I would have is it going to be 5 to 6 months or is it going to be 6 to 9 months? Now, if you know that, you know, that to me makes a difference. But the other thing is, what you don't want to do is put a guy in a position where you're going to miss so much of the off season that you can't even prepare for the next season. It's not just the rehab, it's the preparation for next season. I think guys like Jordan Reed, Trent Williams, you know what you're going to get from them. They know the offense. They know how to take care of themselves. So I'm a little bit less concerned about than I would be like if Jonathan Allen comes back and hurts himself again. That would be a horrible situation. Now, you know, I mean, if it's the same injury hurts, that'd be terrible. If it's something else, you can't control that.
Right.
But I don't believe in shutting down just to shut down. I want guys who want to play. And, you know, so you like that. But I think if the playoffs are out of the question for Trent, I'd be more inclined to say, if I'm Jay Gruden, you got to go. But the hard part, then we're getting to all this whole branching off, because then it's like, well, who's playing left tackle now? And then what position are you putting your quarterback in as well? That's another factor, too, because you can't. And Jay Gruden brought that up the other day as well. So.
Well, and I think it's unique with Trent because we know he needs significant surgery. It's not, you know, most NFL offensive linemen have a surgery every offseason just because they have so much damage to their bodies and their joints that they got to clean something up. And they're fairly flippant about it. I just had to get it scoped, cleaned out. But it's still surgery. It's still invasive. But Trent needs something significant. The biggest thing is the rehab time. What does that timeline look like where he can be fully healthy when they get to Richmond next summer?
Thing is, he could roll into the training camp in the middle of August and be fine.
He could.
He's such a unique situation.
He'd be fine, but he puts so much time and effort into, just like Jordan Reed. Those are two guys who, I mean, most of these guys put a lot into their offseason, but those two, it's hard to top what they put into their offseason. And to not train the same way, he'll be fine. Jordan Reed will be fine. Trent Williams will be fine. But are they where they were? And how long does it take? I don't know. I think the other thing is, at this point, you have a month left. If it's a week or 2 weeks, it's not going to make a huge bit of difference as far as recovery, because it's going to be, you're going to be in trouble anyway.
I also think the Jordan Reed situation is different because of the track record of injuries, as well as This started off as a toe in training camp, became a hamstring later. I'm not entirely sure that the toe was ever cleared up. I believe it wasn't.
I don't think it was, and I think that.
And who knows if one had something to do with the other?
It absolutely does, because the toe also, he had told me that he had to have a lot of work done on his hip, just work done in terms of acupuncture, massage, and all that, because the toe affected his hip and how he was leaning, and it threw that out of whack, and that's one reason why he felt like he started to get some explosiveness back, because he took care of his hip. So I would have to believe that the hamstring is probably related to that, because it triggers everything.
Sure.
So I'm with you on that. Now, the other thing is, as Rich pointed out, it's $15,000 a game that he's more, a little more than $15,000 a game that he's not getting by not being able to be out there. So,
well, and the other thing with Reed, unlike Trent, who's been playing and been effective, Jordan hasn't played since Halloween. I think Standing had a tweet that I thought was kind of funny. The Houston Astros have played more games than Jordan Reed since Halloween. And I mean, it's kind of, hopefully you get that that's a baseball reference and they don't play in the fall. But you're not going to lose anything if you shut him down at this point. Maybe that's not fair to say, because it would certainly, he would certainly help.
Not gaining is, losing.
Right. The offense has been functional, certainly, arguably good. The numbers suggest they're still good without him out there.
14 points against Dallas, is that good?
The yardage totals.
Okay.
The yardage totals and the points per game, it was up until the other day, it was pretty close, if not better, than when he was in there, which is an amazing step in this offense's progression. I think that goes back to the quarterback as well. But I think it's, but you know, you always want your best.
Of course.
Here's the thing is, like, what we've seen a drop off in are the huge plays by Vernon Davis. Yeah. Why? Because you don't get the same matchup issues that they have when Jordan and Vernon are in there at the same time.
And Vernon's starting to get pretty beat up himself.
Exactly. So there is a definite trickle down, and they're clearly better when he's on the field.
Tandler, you touched on something there that I wanted to dig in a little bit. We got to start evaluating players for 2018. I mean, not we, the three of us, but the Skins. I mean, they got to try. You got to watch the tape, John. You got to tune in. But, you know, beyond the shutdown questions is also, and obviously the biggest question mark for 2018 is Kirk and what the hell happens to quarterback, right? Everybody knows that, but we've already done two podcasts on that. We're going to do 30 more. So let's talk about beyond Kirk, the biggest questions. I wrote about this. For me, you've got four spots with nothing but giant question marks, and it's receiver, left guard, the linebackers, and then corner. Now, the cornerback question is more about depth and what happens with Bashaud Breeland. Tandler, you can pick a position to start the conversation, but I think those four spots we should discuss.
Well, wide receiver. Let's start there. I think Josh Doctson, you know, you still don't really quite know what you have there. I think there's some, I don't think, I tweeted the other day that got a lot of reaction that, you know, I was looking, watching NFL Red Zone yesterday, and they got DeAndre Hopkins in the middle of the third quarter. DeAndre Hopkins had 10 targets. You know, this guy hasn't had 10 targets in the game. Now, he's not DeAndre
Hopkins. Seven twice this year.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's had four each of the last two. And, you know, I think okay, if you're going to evaluate that, you have to give him the ball. You have to feed him the ball. Is he getting a little beat up? Yes. But you know what? He comes back to the sideline. You tell him to get his butt back out there and play some. That's the only way he's going to learn.
Well, it's tough, though, because do you want the offense to change to force Josh the ball? Because here's what we know about Kirk is he goes quickly from read to read and goes to where it's open. So, Kime, do you think they should force the ball to Doctson this last month?
No, and if I'm Kirk Cousins, why am I going to force it to one guy?
Certainly Kirk has no incentive to do that.
Exactly, and the offense functions right now. I mean, listen, you want to keep evaluating him. I don't know that giving him DeAndre Hopkins totals is going to do that. I think what I just want to see him continue developing in the right fashion. And it's like, I don't know that, because here's the other thing, you're evaluating with Kirk Cousins throwing to him.
Right.
That might not,
what could that look like?
That might not be the combination next year. So I want to see more, and I will say, I think that Kirk has been more aggressive throwing to him recently, and I
down
like
the field too.
And I like that. I think that
one in the end zone in Dallas,
right? And that was been a positive development, because he can make plays for you, and you want to see him continue making plays for them. But I think, you know, the other thing with Doctson moving forward is part of the reason why, like, they didn't sweat as much losing Garcon and Jackson is because they kind of view Jordan Reed as their top passing target. So I'd like to see him on the field with Doctson to see how some sort of that sort of pairing or that sort of combination.
And they thought they were going to get a lot out of Terrell Pryor.
Right, more out of Pryor and also more out of Crowder, too.
Yeah.
I think that was because, like, if you talk to them, you know, before the season, it was Jordan Reed, it's Crowder, and then it's, you know, maybe Chris Thompson, and then it's the receivers. So they didn't look, you know, so the lack of a true number one, they didn't feel would hurt him as much because you had those other guys. Well, Jordan Reed.
Well, you saw even when Thompson was healthy that he was able to make that difference.
Correct, and he was a different sort of home run threat, but he was one. So, you know, but I mean, I think you want to see with Doxson just continue. He got a ton of snaps. Was it against the Saints? Was it? Where he played like 70 snaps?
Yeah, he's played every snap. Played every snap.
Right, and so that's, you know. That's good to see.
Yeah. And he's proving he can be durable, too, which there were pretty serious questions about for the first, absolutely. You know, certainly year and first month.
But I'm not going to force a situation on that and just say, hey, you got to go to him. Because then it's like, if you're Kirk, do you really want to do that?
Right.
Or do you want to keep spreading it around? Because that's how you function better. And that's also, he's a free agent, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest. That
behind,
the
but then behind Doxson. That's where the question, you know, I will take Doxson going in, you know, without that. But then, you know, you have Brian Quick on a 1-year contract, didn't do much this year. Ryan Grant is
his
a free agent,
up, right?
Although I think he would gladly come back. It, you know, he's a three-year, four-year, of course, he's coming back. they got to get. I think before the end of the year, they'll get
Robert Davis
off the practice squad. Just if nothing else, to make sure they have his rights.
I think they're going to have to bring a veteran in next year at wideout.
I'm with you on that.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think this year proved you kind of have to.
And maybe a guy with a little bit more of a track record. Maybe not somebody you drop a ton of money on, but somebody with more of a track record than Pryor.
Obviously not now, but the 2015 version of Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
Like when he signed with the Lions.
I'm with you on that one, right. Exactly. I think basically what you want to do is you want Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
But
the money,
not at that money, agree.
Right.
And so, yeah, Garçon, Boldin, that type, I'm
a
with
you. A guy you can get late in his career that can still maybe give you, maybe he peaks at 1,000, but it's probably more 850 yards, something like that.
If Doxson develops, you have a playmaker there.
Right.
And then you still have, next year, you still have Thompson if he comes back to what he was.
Right.
But I would still look for someone else there to help out. It could be, if you're not sure what Jordan Reed can do, then maybe you want to go in a different direction with your offense and say, you know what, we're relying too much on the tight ends. We can't do that because Jordan Reed keeps getting hurt or has those durability issues. Then maybe you go in a different direction, a receiver, to get someone a little bit better. I don't know.
And then what you get from Reed is gravy.
Right,
his bonus,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Well, and still, what we're going to be circling back to for the next 3 months is all of this depends on who's behind center and who's throwing the ball. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Cornerback, there is a bit of a breaking point in Josh Norman's contract. I don't see that happening. I think Josh Norman plays for them next year.
I would say zero chance they're going to walk.
Right, even though it's $17 million on the books. I mean, Norman's an expensive player, but he's a good player, and they value him. The other side of Josh Norman is Bashaud Breeland, who's going to be a free agent. And I'm looking at the list of the top paid free agent or cornerbacks in the league. I think Breeland's looking at a deal where he's going to be making $10 million annually and possibly more than that. He's had a strong year. I'd say 2 of his 4 years with the Skins have been pretty strong. And that's such a position that's in demand. There is going to be demand for Bree on the free agent market. What does that do for the Skins? I don't think they can chase a lot because they're so committed to Norman. And you can't tie up $30 million in cap room at the cornerback spot. Plus, Kendall Fuller, I think they believe can move outside and still be very effective for them, which this is a very long route to. What do they know about Fabian Moreau? Is he ready to play that inside slot nickel corner?
I think he'd be more of an outside guy, and you can leave Kendall inside.
Keep Kendall in?
I think Fabian's more of an outside guy. He's worked there more. I think Holsey would be a guy that you'd look inside. I don't know that he's a starter type, but I think that's where he adds depth.
Yeah,
I think Fabian,
because he has the speed on the outside.
Yeah, he's very physical, but he doesn't have the experience inside, so I don't know. And I don't, you know, we haven't seen him in there, and I don't remember seeing him too much inside there when we were able to see him in practice and all that. So, I think the beauty of Fuller is that he's smart enough and capable enough to play both spots.
And he's a different body type. Even just looking at him, he's a little stockier, thicker than most corners are, he can put up with a little bit more.
I would say, too, that my thing with him is I think he's very valuable inside because he can play it, and it's hard to find a guy who can play that spot, and it's a crucial spot, and more teams go to three receivers.
Yeah, and how often are they in the nickel? Probably 60% of the time.
Yeah, it's a starting position, essentially.
Yeah, so that's why I'm okay. But I think Moreau, when they drafted him, I heard from a lot of people who really like that kid and what he can do. So I think if he can play, I'd probably keep him outside, but...
RT?
Just look at it now? Okay, it's free agency time. It's draft time. Are you going to count on him? Are you going to say, you don't need to sign a big money free agent. You can probably, but you need to sign maybe some veteran.
Veteran Greg Toler's Deshaun Phillips in here over the last few years. Yeah. I mean, they brought those guys in.
Yeah. I think some people just threw them off the road.
I still remember Greg Toler chasing Tavares Jackson down the sidelines in that.
And that's the one thing.
16 season.
The one thing
finale.
I will say, they've done a good job setting themselves up for a Breland departure.
Yeah, because you do have legitimate guys.
And you know, with Moreau too, you wonder he's missed a lot. He missed a lot of practice time in camp. How that impacted him going forward, and then giving him an off season where he's healthy and all that.
Could he have a similar jump that Fuller did year one to year two?
I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
Fuller had more experience, so that's to his benefit. What I do like is the way Moreau has played on special teams. And, I go back to what guy like Greg Williams would always talk about, how he would measure guys if they're not playing, what they did on special teams. Well, he's performed well there. What that means at corner, I don't know. He's very aggressive out there. He's going to make some mistakes.
Fast, shows his speed.
He's fast. He's
shows
physical.
His hitting. Yeah.
And
physical.
So I think you have, if I'm them, I'm going to see what he can do out there. And if he can't do it, if he's not ready, then you can move Fuller out there because you know what he can do.
Right. All right, super speed round on this one because we're getting tight here. What – I don't even know how to answer this damn question or ask this question. What have the Skins seen from Ryan Anderson so far? Taylor, you start.
Not much. He doesn't have a sack. He's probably counted his tackles on one hand, maybe two. Now, he's stuck behind – he's behind Gallette. He's behind Preston Smith. He's behind Kerrigan. So, obviously, that has something to do with it. So, but, you don't know. He's not a guy you can go in the next offseason. You can really count on him for anything.
7 tackles in 12 games.
Yeah, it hasn't been a whole lot. And I liked what I saw, when you watch him in college and all that, and he's got a nasty demeanor to him, and I mean that in a positive way, where it's you like those kind of guys in the field. He hasn't been a threat as a pass rusher at all. And, against the run, he's been okay. There have been some hiccups there, but, there's a gap between he and the other ones out there, between he and Preston Smith, between he and Kerrigan or Gallette as a rusher. So you would like to have seen more from him.
Should that impact if it's hard, we're guessing at Bashaud Breland making a lot of money. We have no idea what the market's going to do with Trent Murphy, but it's a name that Redskins fans need to remember, and he's probably off their radar because he hasn't played all year. He's going to be up for free agency, and is that somebody? The Skins love him. They love his work ethic in the locker room. He's liked, and he had a really good 2016. I don't know if, because Ryan Anderson hasn't shown them enough, if it makes trying to get Murphy back in-house a little more interesting.
I think you do regardless.
Yeah.
You can't have too many good pass rushers.
Now, do they have any contract? Can they make him a reserved or anything, Tandler?
Who?
Murphy.
Make him
second round, his contract's
up. No, he's an unrestricted free agent.
But I think it'll help them that the fact that he's coming off the injury he's had.
And they know him better than anybody else in the league.
I think because they also have Junior Gallette, who's on the last year of his contract. And so what do you do there? But it's like if you feel like Gallette may want to go somewhere to get more opportunities. Now, he's gotten more opportunities the last several weeks, but he may want to go somewhere he feels he can get more. I don't think he's going to be expensive either. And I think the other thing is you can never have enough pass rushers, as I think we've always seen with this team, with any team. But, I think you'll be able to get Murphy for a decent deal if you want to bring him back.
Maybe some incentives thrown in there.
He might take a one-year deal, too.
Right.
Who knows? Because he's not going to –
he's not going to break the bank anyplace else.
No.
Taylor, 140 characters. Tell me what you were telling me about special teams.
They've just been bad all year. They're 24th in Football Outsiders DVOA, and it just kind of hit the fan against Dallas with the punt return.
It hit the fan. Well,
the fumbled punt. And, the underrated one, Mo Harris fielding that kickoff.
That's a good one.
A foot and a half that would have gone out of bounds would have given him a much better field position.
That's more than 140 characters.
But Ben Kotwicka. Okay.
Yeah, now he's going to 280.
Ben Kotwicka should not be fired. They've had good special teams the last couple of years. So fans talking about firing Ben Kotwicka, stop it.
I think the disappointing thing there has been Crowder as a whole, and I love watching that kid. I really do.
Yeah.
But you look at him last year compared to this year, and I was looking at some of those numbers this morning too, where he had like four games where he had returns of 20 or more yards last year.
He won the Ravens game.
Right.
This year,
his longest return is 18 yards. And so
averaging 5.1.
Yeah.
Dead last. Last among qualifiers.
And so there's been a distinct drop-off there, which has been – I know, like, when you have all these injuries, you're taking guys who would have been special teamers and now making them starters. But it's been bad. And, the first Dallas game, you forget, that blocked field goal – completely changed
totally
the game.
Changed the season, if you want to look at it that way.
I mean, when you look at some of those little plays there that they could have helped to win, they haven't won a game, and they've helped lose a couple.
Yep.
All right. You may have thought we forgot about this, but we have not. The Redskins Talk Survivor Pool is still going strong, and this is impressive. There are three people that have gone 13-0, don't have a miss yet this year, and then there's like another nine people that are 12-1 and have only missed one. Taylor and I have been out for months,
yeah.
I think. Taylor and I have been out since the weather was warm. So Matt C. from EP, D. Boogie 81, and Huntingford, I am impressed by you guys, and don't you worry, if whoever wins out gets to pick something from Taylor's closet. So that offer is still there. Don't forget. And if you're a lawyer, none of this ever happened. All right, we are wrapping up. Taylor, tell everybody what we need them to do.
You need to subscribe. You need to leave reviews. I there was a lot of enthusiasm for reviews to get me in a turkey hat. Does not seem to be so much to get JP in a foolish Christmas hat of some sort.
Kime, have you left a review
yet? So get the reviews going.
Get on it.
You're on Twitter.
You're eligible.
All right, so I'm going to read one review. This one's pretty good. This is Skins Caps Pat 89. I am either smiling from ear to ear at the consistent Tandler heckling or listening intently to their insight on injuries, the number of which is absurd. I feel like I'm hanging out with my boys ranting about my favorite team. I've seen way too much heartache. He's 28 in my years as a fan, but these guys make it bearable. These dudes make Dallas feel like home. Our fan base can go off the rails in an instant. Tweets and Facebook comment sections are enough to discourage any Skins reporter. Kime, do you agree? but Skins Caps Pat says, keep it up. Most of us aren't like that. Apologies for being long-winded. I know Tandler has to get back to drying his clothes. Thanks, Pat. That's a fantastic review. Pat is now in the lead for the Josh Norman game towel that I'm going to send to somebody.
You guys, unnamed player.
If you're a lawyer, that never happened. the number I believe is 130 by the Cardinals game. I think we're at like 115, so we need a bunch more. And then I'm gonna wear a goofy Christmas hat if you guys get to 160. But you gotta make it work. Kime, parting words. Profound man, John Kime.
Read ESPN.
All I know, I'm gonna write to the finish. I'm not gonna go out early. So
they're not shutting you down.
I'm not getting shut down.
The hard part with this season is for a writer for us to be in a position where he's like, what are you going to fill yourself? So get ready for a lot of Cousins talk, and it's not necessarily by design or desire.
Right. Cousins talk is coming. Taylor and I are going to keep hitting you double barrel. Kime's going to have a ton of content. Follow him at – it's John underscore Kime?
John underscore Kime.
Follow Taylor at –
Tandler NBCS.
Follow me at JP Finley NBCS. Folks, I hope you enjoyed this. We have two awesome guests lined up this week. You're going to hear from Joel Corey all about Kirk Cousins' contract, and you're going to hear from a member of the posse. I'm just going to tease it like that. Really good interview with a member of the posse late in the week. And as always, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.